James chapter 4, before 1st and 2nd Peter. James chapter 4. I want you to see this passage, if you would. James chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Again, like I said, I'll read aloud as you read along silently. So starting at verse 13 of chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. That boasting, I'll do what I want, you know, get gain, stuff. All such rejoicing is evil, bad. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I hope you give me the liberty this morning from the title to preach this morning. It's 10:30. That's not in the Bible, but it is 10:30, and you'll know what I mean as I go along this morning. It's 10:30, ladies and gentlemen. Most people are living their life expecting to live to 11 o'clock. Say, why did you choose 10:30? I don't know. I said, give me some liberty. But I do get it from the text this morning. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. Holy Spirit, I need your help again. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for helping those all in our church, but I personally needed it, and you came through, and I'm asking again physically now for this morning service preaching, because this is preaching, not necessarily teaching. Well, some things will be taught, but it's the preaching, it's exhortation, it's encouragement, it's trying to bring some conviction. So, Holy Spirit, I need more than physical. I need your Holy Spirit power to help. And as I prayed this morning before the Sunday school hour, I pray those Christians in this room would pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would help them and fill them so they would get what the message is for them, not their neighbor, not their loved one, not their kids, not anyone but themselves. And Holy Spirit, if you fill them, that will be accomplished. Or we'll just waste the next 30 minutes. I don't want that to happen. I believe you gave me this message to preach, and I believe you're in it. So help me and help us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. As I said in my opening statement, most people are living their life looking for death at 11, but death comes at 10:30. Can I give it to you another way? Most people are deciding to take opportunities in their life, but they're going to wait till 11 and the opportunity passes by at 10:30. That's the way a lot of us are living our lives nowadays. We want to take care of our selfish or our expectation, and the Lord gets the 11 o'clock hour, and we get it up to 10:30. Well, ladies and gentlemen, young people, according to this verse, you need to go to now. You need to take care of now what you need to do, because you're not guaranteed the next 30 minutes. We live in a very unstable and a very worrisome world. Can I get an amen on that? Those dear people that were in Turkey just simply protesting peace, and I don't care what it was. Some people, listen to me, there's a difference. We're independent fundamental Baptists. We cross every T and we dot every I and we say this is the way it ought to be and we ought to live by the Bible and we do it and we preach it and we stand on it without any apology. But we don't go out here with guns and bombs and blow people up who won't do what we say. That's wrong, that's wicked. And it's a sin and people better wake up or these people are going to overrun this country. And I'm not necessarily talking to you, and I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at our leadership. And obviously the country is too. Okay, that's enough on the political side. Man, I was sick. And so I'd get from the bed. I'd go in my sit on my chair and, you know, lay there. I'd turn on Fox News, and it made me feel sicker just watching. So I turned over to the golf and watched the Americans win the presidency. Oh, no. Oh, no. I probably blew it for some of you right there because I stayed up. I couldn't sleep. Oh, no. Sorry about that. I violated my own principle of DVRing. What opportunity are you putting off, ladies and gentlemen, this morning? What thing in your life are you should be doing or God wants you to be doing or even you know that you should be doing? And I'm not talking about climbing the Himalaya now. Oh, one day I dream of climbing the Himalayas. The world's tall. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing something for God. What is it that you've dreamed of or you think you ought to do or the Holy Spirit is pressing on you upon your heart to change or give up or to do that you're waiting. And it's 10:30, ladies and gentlemen. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Luke, would you please? In the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 16. Listen to this parable. This is taught right here. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, are you there? 12:16, Luke 12, chapter 12, and then verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. America, let's go on. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, the eye disease. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. You're looking at a man that believes in financial savings. I believe in it. I think everyone ought to save. I think you ought to have 401ks. I think you ought to have all that. I do it. I try to do it. I mean, I try to be a good steward. God always gets the tithe first. And by the way, my tithe, I would like to say I double it. I don't double it, but what a tithe is. But I'm up there. If I tell you that you ought to give, it's because Brother Evans gives. I believe in this place. This is my church. This is where my kids grew up, and this is where my grandkids are going to grow up. And I'm going to support it, and I believe everybody ought to be saving. Now listen, you ought to be saving. Give up that smartphone. Get you a dumb phone. They cost just as much as the smartphone now, really. But I can't live without it. How did my wife and I raise four kids without a cell phone? If we needed a cell phone, if there were cell phones at any time during that period, we'd need the kids' backpack to carry the cell phone. It was so big. I believe you ought to save. But can I say this? That money you save, you can't take with you. It's not eternal. Did you see it? Did you see it? It's not eternal. Look at verse 21. But he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. There's just certain things we're going to be able to take out with us. Number one is our soul. That's one thing you will take out with you is your soul. And another thing are the people that you take out, that you led to tell Jesus about going to heaven, and they will meet you in heaven. You can take them with you when you too go. So what is that IRA? Is it that important? I say it is. But don't let the things of God go undone. Oh, but preacher, as soon as the kids, and soon then I'm going to do, see, it's 10:30 and you'd wait until 11 o'clock. Well, when I get, you know, we get retired and I get this and I do that, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock, and you're never going to get it done. We need to get done what the Lord wants us to get done in your life. I have no idea what He wants done in your life. Certain things I do know, winning other people to Christ, making sure you're saved, I do know those things, yes. But I'm talking about the things that you could do with what you have. Only you and God knows that. And my friend, the admonition and the warning in the book of James is, go to now. What is your life? It's even a vapor. It appears 10:30 and then 11, it's gone. We live in a day and age where people are making provisions for the temporary and not for the eternal. We're living our lives trying to get it all in by 11 o'clock, and then we'll give God and do right what He wants. But death comes at 10:30, or the lost opportunity. I'm not talking about necessarily that you're going to die. But you know, people lose opportunity where they can't get past it and do what they wanted to. I can tell you of a lot of young men that I know that should be in the ministry, and they'll never be able to go to the ministry because it was 10:30. And they let it get to 11, and they're not able to do it. There's a lot of things. You may not have what you have tomorrow. You better take what you have today and take care of it today. Now, it's getting late. What you need to do it now and not wait. Can I give you a few suggestions? Then we'll be gone. Number one. Get saved today. If you're not saved this morning, if you do not know 100% sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to go to heaven when you die, or Jesus comes back in the heavens and the rapture occurs, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, then my friend, today, this morning, is the day to do it. Go to today. Go to now. Don't wait. Life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Jesus has given us everything that we need. Everything that we need to be able to get to heaven. He did it all. Mark Evans was a sinner. Had a list of offenses and sins against my God. Living for myself selfishly and selfish desires. And doing what I wanted to do and sinning against a holy God. And I committed them to the day that somebody pointed me to a Savior that loved me and died for me. His name was Jesus. They said He was God, and He came to earth in flesh so that He could live without sin, so that He could die on a cross to pay for those penalties, those penalties on that list that I accumulated. My list was long. It's still long. But He died for every sin I have. He paid the price that Mark Evans should have paid. He did it, my friend. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. Why? Because he took my account. And somebody pointed me to him and said, you need to trust him. Ask him to save you. He will save you. He came for that purpose, to save you. And I bowed my head as a sailor in 1976 and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. And God took Mark Evans' account of those sins and he put them on Jesus' account right there. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, he paid for that account. And Jesus gave me his account of his sins. How many are on Jesus' account? None. That's why Mark Evans, who's still a sinner, can stand before God Almighty one day and God look down and say, come on in. Because he doesn't see Mark Evans' sin. He sees the blood of Christ. My friend, it's 10:30. Don't wait any longer. I don't know how much simpler it can be. That's how you get saved. Get saved today. You don't have tomorrow. You have no guarantee this afternoon. You don't have any guarantee for anything. And it would be sad as this man in this barn that he tore down everything and he said, you're not going to have time to build anew. It's too late. What sad words. You remember the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, after he was arrested? And he stood before the kings and princes of the known government times. One of those kings was called King Agrippa. And he was pleased to stand before King Agrippa. And he stood before him and he told him about how he got saved and trusting Jesus and how he became a Christian. And he said to King Agrippa, King Agrippa, won't you be saved? Won't you? And he pleaded with him. King Agrippa made these sad statements, just like the book of Luke and the story we just read. But he said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Please, please this morning, don't be an almost person. Be a person that accepts Jesus Christ. Can I give you a second suggestion this morning? Get right with somebody today. You don't know if you'll have tomorrow to get right with that spouse. You don't know if you'll have tomorrow to get right with that loved one. You don't know if you have tomorrow to get right with your friends or neighbors. How many lives are lived in destruction, a destroyed life, because you have a conscience that you've done something wrong to somebody, or you have the monster of hatred built up in your heart and life because somebody's done something wrong to you. Those are bitter poisons, ladies and gentlemen. Hatred. A conscience that's hurt and hurting because you've done wrong and not getting it right. And if you let it stay in that container, and that's you, it will destroy that container. Turn over to Matthew, if you would. Go back a couple of books. You're in the book of Luke. Matthew chapter 5, would you? Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 21. Verse 21, chapter 5, verse 21. You heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. This is Jesus talking. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Not whoever shall say, but whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring that gift to the altar, your service, what you're doing, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy, then come and offer thy gift. That word danger there means, it's two words. It means in and to have hold of. When people have hatred in their heart, it will destroy you. That's what that phrase means right there. Well, you don't know what they did to me, Brother Evans. You just don't know. I do know this. I know what they did to Jesus. He didn't deserve anything he got, but that they took him and scourged him, beat him like an animal, and took him to a cross. And there on the cross, he died for my sin, who again, he didn't need to do that, but yet he did it for me and he did it for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what anybody is, but it's meant to say, I don't care what it was. No one has suffered like Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to forgive those people and quit hanging on to the bitterness that you have. It's going to destroy you. It will. Have you done somebody wrong? Oh, you know, I think they forgot it. Yeah, they may have, but it's going to destroy you. Because you haven't. Because you just thought of it. You need to get those things right, ladies and gentlemen. Those things are what we need to do. Get right with somebody today. I don't know what it is. I don't know who it is. I got my own illustration in my life. I'll never forget it. Our oldest son, Justin, when I was in Bible college, he was born, and he was born premature. And he sat in St. Elizabeth's Hospital, is that right? St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Mercy, Indiana, in a little incubator. And we didn't know if he'd live. Sometimes I wish he hadn't now. No, I'm just teasing. I'm sorry. If I didn't do that, I wouldn't have got through the rest of it. Sorry, Justin. God brought up, okay, you had an activity report at college saying what you did, the time you spent, and what how many souls you won. You lied about it to the school. I had to march down to that school, knock on the dean's door, and say, I lied. Who is it you need to get right with today? Your life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then the opportunity's gone, ladies and gentlemen. The opportunity's gone. You have someone in your mind. Notice what it said in the scripture that we read. It says if you know somebody has aught against you, you're to go to him. Wow. It's 10:30. And then can I give you the last point, the last suggestion? Give all to Christ today. Every one of us have some areas in our life we have not given up to Christ. Every one of us. There's areas that we just say, well, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a Sunday night church service, a Wednesday night church service, soul winning. I don't know what it is, but all of us have areas in our life. And I got my areas and you got yours. And I'm here preaching to you this morning. You need to look at those areas and decide, what am I holding back from Christ? What is your life? It is even a vapor. One day, preacher, I'm going to do it. Yeah, it's 10:30. But 11 o'clock may come before you know it. Ladies and gentlemen, the time's getting late. We need to get things done with our God. He deserves it. Why are we holding things back from Him? Today is the day. It's a vapor. Life is like a vapor. It appears. And those of you seniors in here know exactly what Brother Evans is talking about. When you're young, it just seems like it'll go on forever. You got plenty of time to do everything. But a lot of us are seeing that vapor just gradually, like off a hot cup of coffee. Those of you that are visitors, preacher doesn't drink coffee and he makes fun of us that do. But he drinks tea, caffeinated tea. Okay, get that. But all right. I'm not bashing him today. I love him. That vapor is starting to lose, you know, as you see it disappear. What do you need to do today? What is it? It's getting late. Story is told of a man that was called to preach. Now, I'm using it as a preacher here, but you can place your, if you're not a preacher, you can place yourself in what God wants you to do in here. And God wants us all to do stuff for Him. Is that clear? I don't care who you are, how old you are, God wants you to do stuff for Him. This preacher was sitting on a porch in his house, which he wasn't a preacher yet. He was supposed to be a preacher. God wanted him to call. He knew it. And he was struggling with it. He was struggling and struggling and struggling with it. Matter of fact, he had given up and decided he just wasn't going to do it. But of course, he's sitting there on the porch that pretty day with his little daughter playing in the front yard. And his mind, and you know how we are, our mind takes us back to what we should be doing, that we're fighting with God. You know what I'm talking about. And we kind of just drift off and argue with God in our mind. And before he knew it, his daughter had wandered out into the street. A car came and hit that child. He jumped up out of his chair on the porch and ran out and grabs his daughter in his hands and rocked her. He knew. I can't be his judge. You can't be his judge. But God used that for that man to turn and look to heaven and say, God, I can do what you've told me to do now. What is it going to take? We want to live just to get to 11 o'clock. We want to do our thing. Nobody's trying to take anything away from you. God didn't take this child away. But God is a lovingly Father, knows what He's doing. What is it going to take for us to say, yes, God, and no self? God just wants us to be. He's not going to take stuff away from us that isn't going to help us. Some of you think that if God does what He does in your life, it will just destroy you. No, it will help you. What is it? What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Do you need to be saved this morning? The steam is going to vanish away soon. The opportunity. The opportunity to do what God wants you to do is going to disappear soon. Let's quit watching our clocks and get to doing what God wants us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please.